Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Over a decade ago, attorney Michael Bailey turned his attention to estate law after he recognized the unacceptable number of adults without proper end-of-life planning. Michael recognizes that many of his clients have difficulty finding the time for making a proper estate plan. That's why he became the Mobile Estate Planner. He will go to wherever you are to assist you with your estate planning, including writing wills, trusts, and giving you the information you need to avoid probate. Now, ATX, Ask the Experts, presents Mobile Estate Planning with your host, Michael Bailey. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died, all he left us was alone.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Or if you'd like to come join me in the studio, if you happen to know where that is, or, you know, all of the people who are in the studio are listening, if you want to come in, please feel free. We've got a couple extra chairs. It's great. We're looking out at our wonderful, skyline today. It's a sunny day, but we've got plenty of clouds. Producer Charlie was telling me that it looked like it was an old-timey Western, like an old Western photo. You know, I feel like I should be in a covered wagon crossing the plains, or, you know, maybe in a Laura Ingalls Wilder book of The Little House on the Prairie. You know, whichever one it is. Phone number to talk to me on the air is 303-477-5600. Again, that's 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. And again, that's 720-394-6887. So, I was also talking to my producer. I apparently arrived early today. Sometimes, you know, I'm running in, and by the time I'm running in, my theme, you know, my intro music is playing. I throw on headphones and I sit down. I'm like, hey, here we go. Today, I had the chance to get here a little bit early just because of the way that things played out. You know, usually when that happens, it means that if I'm late, it means that I was, you know, meetings. If I'm early, it usually means that somebody canceled on me, and so I was able to get here early. This time, I just happened to, you know, the things that I was, the appointment that I had previously was it was moved quickly. So I just happened to be here. And so as we were talking, though, we were talking about how it is such a wonderful day, and we're on the 12th floor of the building here, and we're thinking that probably somebody's not going to build a 13 or 14 story right across from us, because as I look out the window, there's a parking garage, and then there's just a storage facility, and, you know, over here it looks like there's like a commercial development, but it's only a story or two high. So we've got a beautiful view here. And then we were talking about how there's something that's really cool about, my first job out of law school, I worked for one of the big four accounting firms, and I worked on the 28th floor downtown. And I was watching out the window one day, and there was a snowstorm, and the snow was falling up because of the updrafts, you know, just the way that things worked. And, you know, watching snow fall up is very strange because, you know, I wasn't like on doing a headstand or a handstand. I was watching the snow fall up. I was standing out and watching the snow fall up and thinking, you know, this would be a good day to be able to leave a little bit early and go home so that I can get home and get home at a normal time. Instead, what I did was I worked until about 10:30 p.m. that day because it was during tax season and busy season, and that was what was necessary to get the work done. But it is a very strange sensation to have things coming up. And we were also talking about, how, like, you buy a house and, you know, so I have a lot of, you know, where I live was new construction probably 20 years ago. You know, now it's a almost 20-year-old house, and I bought it 8 years ago. It was about 10 years old. The guy that I bought it from, he had bought the house, and then he was an airline mechanic, and he worked out of Las Vegas, but his wife lived here, or his wife at the time when he bought the house lived here. And then later on, he got divorced, so she moved out of the house. He still worked in Vegas, but he held on to the house. And so he would fly down to Las Vegas, work all week, and then he'd come back here. He'd fly back here, and so he'd be home on the weekends. So I got a house that was 10 years old, but had only been lived in maybe a fifth of the time. So I'm like, I got a 1 to 2 year old house. This is kind of awesome. But my my now 20-year-old house has 20-year-old appliances in it. So the appliances are, you know, nearly 20 years old, which means that it's kind of time for appliances to be replaced. So that's how life goes. And so I spent, yesterday I got home from work about 6 o'clock, which is kind of early for me. But then I, so we got home at 6 o'clock, and we're gonna get a new refrigerator. It's supposed to be delivered sometime between 1 and 5 today, which, and it's a new refrigerator. It's one of those out of the box ones that has a dent in it. And I'm like, well, anybody who knows the refrigerator at my house knows that you couldn't tell if it has a dent in it because there's all sorts of kids' artwork, or, hey, this permission slip needs to be signed, or I will put the Broncos schedule on there, the Rockies schedule, and the Avs schedule, and the Nuggets schedule. So, you know, I know when the various games are on. And in previous years, it's even been worth watching the Broncos from time to time. They're a little bit down the last couple of years. But, you know, I did, you know, yesterday, we're taking our fridge, and we're getting a new fridge. So the old fridge, you know, there's the possibility it could just be hauled away. Well, the old fridge works okay, just the ice maker doesn't work, and I haven't replaced the water filter for a while, so I probably need a new water filter. But it just hasn't been there, we're like, well, the old fridge still keeps things cold, and it still freezes things, so I don't want to get rid of the old fridge. So, you know, in January, we finished part of our basement. So now we have a great room down there and a couple of guest bedrooms and a bathroom. And we still have some unfinished space. So we were going to we'll just put the fridge down there, and then, you know, we can keep snacks and drinks and things like that so that the kids can be down there. It'll be great. So I went to, I got home, and, you know, I realized that moving a fridge from upstairs to the downstairs, there are these, you know, there's a problem with that in that doorways aren't made to have a big wide fridge go through. So in order to get the fridge to fit, I had to take the doors off the fridge. And so, you know, we unplugged the fridge and I disconnected the water line, and then I pulled the joy of Google and YouTube is that I could look up how to remove the fridge doors from my fridge and do that. So, you know, I pulled them off and carried them downstairs, and then I had a friend come over, and we tried to get the fridge downstairs, and I had carefully measured to see how much room I had. So we're trying to get through the sliding glass door, and I had 28 inches of clearance, and I had measured my fridge. It was 28 inches, so it was going to be really tight, but it was going to be perfect, except for it was 28 and 1/8 inches wide, which doesn't work when you have 28 inches. So despite my careful measurements and planning ahead for everything that I could do, I couldn't get it through that door. So my friend and I, we carried the fridge. We were using a dolly, so we weren't carrying everything by ourselves, you know, using the principle of the wheel to help ourselves out. So we went back up, and we kind of went down the stairs, turned the corner, went down the stairs, got it in. Life was good. Life was happy. Fridge had arrived where it needed to be. Now, you may be wondering what this has to do with estate planning. And at this point, I guess I don't know, but I'll get there. But I'm telling the story of the fridge, dang it. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source. Phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. And again, that's 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. Again, my direct number, 720-394-6887. So, we got the fridge in. Yay! We got it plugged in. It turned on. Yay! There's no water line down there, so I don't have to worry about the ice maker working or not. Yay! But, you know, we've still got a fridge. And, you know, it's one of those things, too, where if you have a fridge or a freezer and you happen to be at the store and you see that you're favorite frozen diced onions are on sale, and you're like, wow, they're only 50 cents, and they're normally $1.50. I should buy a bunch of those. And then you go home, and you're like, huh, are they going to fit in my freezer? Well, now I have freezer space, dang it. And, you know, plus the upgrade of the fridge upstairs will work just great. You know, my, we're getting a one of those French door refrigerators that opens up nicely, and we hope to be able to have the apples so that the kids can get apples and have, you know, things like that and all that good stuff. But went to put the doors back on the fridge. And first, yeah, so I put the fridge side door on, worked great. The freezer side door has the water line, and I couldn't find the stupid little metal thing at the top to hold it on. So I'm like, oh, great. So, you know, I'm walking out, you know, walking around the outside of my house with my flashlight trying to find this thing, couldn't find it. So I was like, oh, man, this is going to, how could I get it back on there? So I walked over to the fridge, and right there at the top of the fridge is a little metal thing that holds it together. And I hadn't taken it off of there because there was a bundle of wires that came out. I'm like, okay, this all makes sense. I had forgotten that between when I first started moving the fridge and a couple hours later when I actually got it where it was supposed to be. So I find that sometimes with estate planning clients is I will explain things to them. And then either by the time we get it signed or a year or two later, they'll call me back and be like, oh, what about this? I'm like, okay, well, it's here and here. And they're like, oh, okay, good. Or they'll tell me something that they think that I explained to them that I did not, or that I, you know, we had a misunderstanding or something like that. And, you know, just because estate planning, it can be complicated. We try to make it as simple as possible, but sometimes it's complicated. You know, moving a fridge, other than the 28 and a quarter inch versus 28 inches, wasn't that complicated. We could move it around. Having said that, my calves and my triceps are telling me, hey, you move big, heavy things. And you're a little bit tired because you don't do that all the time. Yep. Thank you for telling me that, calves and triceps. I understand completely. You know, and yeah, I do try to stay in shape and work out and such things like that, but still. So, you know, there you go. There's one way it relates to estate planning is that sometimes things come in and sometimes they're not quite as, what we think we understand may need to be re-explained, or we need to revisit things to understand them, because that's how life goes. And so, you know, finally I ended up getting, you know, I got, found the fridge, you know, and then I couldn't figure out how to get the stupid door on. And it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, it's, there should be a hole here, there should be a way to, for it to fit on there, but I couldn't quite figure it out. And there was this water hose that was in the way. And, you know, I looked at it and I was like, ah, why can't I figure this out? And what I eventually saw was, oh, okay, the little water hose needs to go through this thing that will support it because it's, it is being supported there and it's being, so I wasn't familiar with it. So I had, you know, I needed to figure it out. All right, so I've got a caller here, Mohammed. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay, yep, go ahead.
How did you get the refrigerator inside the like house or whatever if the door was like too small?
Okay, so there's lots of different doors. Mm-hmm. My front door is nice and big and wide. And so when they built the house, I think they took it, you know, just in the front door right into the kitchen because the kitchen's on the main floor. So I was taking it from the kitchen on the main floor down to the basement. So there's different size doors. So my front door, which is nice and wide and can get things in, was much wider than the sliding glass door trying to get it in the basement. So I had to go through a different door. Does that make sense?
Okay. So why couldn't you just like flip the refrigerator like around and then like, couldn't it fit? Like you would have put the wide on like the bottom? No.
So the refrigerator is a certain amount wide and a certain amount deep. And so, in order to get it through the doors, you had to turn it the right direction. So it was one of those things that, I thought I'd measured everything perfectly and carefully. And apparently I couldn't do it the one way that I wanted to. So I had to go do it a different way where the doors were the right size to get a refrigerator through the doors.
I'm okay. All right. Thank you for explaining that.
Yep. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
All right. Mm-hmm. All
right.
Bye-bye.
Right. So I feel a little bit like I should give a plug for geometry now and how you need to pay attention in geometry so you understand angles and moving things and, you know, widths and stuff like that. My children, yeah, but yeah, maybe, I don't know, some parts of geometry may not have been quite as often. You know, we used to talk about Chief Sokotoa, you know, that its sign is opposite over adjacent, and, you know, that thing, if you knew Chief Sokotoa. If you don't know Chief Sokotoa, please feel free to call him. So his sign is opposite over adjacent, or opposite over hypotenuse. Cosine is adjacent over hypotenuse, and tangent is opposite over adjacent. So, you know, Chief Sokotoa, you know, math stuff. You know, I remember these type of things. We also in calculus used to have Big Chief Chalk, where when we were asked to go up to do math problems on the board, we would have sidewalk chalk that we could do it in. So we had Big Chief Chalk. So it was somehow much more fun to go do a problem on the board and, you know, look like we had no clue what we were doing, and that's why we were in school and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, so we got the refrigerator down there, you know, got it set up, put the food in it. It's cool. And then I got to take on the dishwasher, because, you know, if you do one thing one time, it's hard to do something. You know, you got to do something else the other time. So, I mean, and, you know, I guess I learned from moving the refrigerator that, you know, your first attempt may not be quite the right way. And so your second attempt, you know, we figured it out. We got it figured out. So, you know, part of, you know, people will be like, well, how come I can't just do my estate plan, you know, by myself or do it online? And I say, you can. You totally can. You can do an estate plan all by yourself. You don't need my help at all. But I kind of know some of the pitfalls. I know some of the problems that show up. I know some of the issues, some of the common issues. So it's a lot of time a good thing to have someone who knows what those common issues are, who can say, hey, I know you want to move the refrigerator. I know you want to create the estate plan. I know you want to move things. I know that you think you know what you're doing. And I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that it may be better to have somebody who's been there before, who's done it before, and who's seen what can go wrong, so that they can help you move stuff. I mean, in our church, we're very good about helping people move. And you can always tell the people who do lots of moves because they know what they're doing. Other times, you're not so sure. I mean, years ago, when we had the water damage in our house, we had some movers come in and they packed everything up and moved it all out, and it was so quick. And I'm like, wow, that was amazing. Other times you're like, oh, well, I know how to do this. And, you know, so same way with, you know, when you have movers who come in and move stuff, yes, it costs some, it costs a little bit more than what you might be used to, but it may be worth it. And that's especially true in estate planning. Is using an attorney is probably going to be a good thing. Because yes, you can do it yourself. I mean, you can also, I mean, I laugh about the dirty little secret of attorneys is that we don't do anything for you that you can't do for yourself. And that includes, if you would like to defend yourself for murder, go right ahead. If that might not be the best idea if you actually committed the murders. You know, you can ask the DC sniper and Ted Bundy about that and how that might not be the best idea. But, you know, as an estate planning attorney, yes, we're always out there going, oh, hey, well, this, you know, this person, you can do this by yourself. And, you know, I completely agree. But I do think that there's a level of experience that I bring that, you know, the moving the refrigerator and trying to go through the small door, you know, that there was a little bit of you know, we had to take a detour. We couldn't do it that way. Well, that only cost me, you know, like 10 minutes and, you know, lifting the refrigerator for the next 10 minutes. So it wasn't exactly a terrible, horrible mistake that was going to cost me the ability to accomplish what I want. In estate planning, if you make a mistake and you can't get there from here, then it becomes too late. I did a show on that about how we had my next-door neighbor wanted to try and fix what he thought was a mistake in his mom's will, but his mom had passed away, so it was too late to do that. So, yeah, lessons from a refrigerator, apparently. So you are listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ, The Source, also heard on 1220 AM, 95.3 FM, 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com, and the TuneIn app. Nobody has come to join me in the studio, so that offer is still open for the next 8 or so minutes until my show is over. And phone number to talk to us on the air is 303-477-5600. Again, that's 303-477-5600. And my direct line is 720-394-6887. And again, direct line is 720-394-6887. Now, please, although we're talking about moving refrigerators during this show, if you need your refrigerator moved, I'm going to suggest that you do not call me. Yeah, my hands and my arms that got squished just a little bit yesterday, they've recovered, but refrigerator moving is not, I mean, I'll do it when I need to, but I don't necessarily, it's not my primary thing that I would love to do. So after finishing refrigerator, I took on the dishwasher because they told us they would not take away the dishwasher unless the dishwasher had been disconnected from the water supply. So I went to the dishwasher, and both the refrigerator and the dishwasher have water coming into them. So fortunately, and my friends, I had a client from yesterday who was telling me that in older houses, they don't necessarily have specific shutoffs going to the dishwasher or specific shutoffs going to the refrigerator. So you have to shut off water supply, you know, at a different junction. But my house is modern enough that there is a spot to shut off the water supply. So apparently, you know, those who built my house had learned from previous builders. And so there was a specific water supply that I could shut off. So I got underneath the sink and pulled out all the stuff in the sink. And if you ever want to have an exciting time, go under your kitchen sink and pull out all the stuff that's there. It's amazing how much stuff ends up there, whether it's plastic bags that you then reuse for trash cans or cleaning supplies or, you know, whatever. It is amazing. You know, I mean, anybody who owns a house understands that. You look around your house 10, 20 years after you've moved in, you're like, where did all this stuff come from? We probably bought it or something, but where did it all come from? It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, that's just life. That's how it works. So did that, turned off the water supply to the refrigerator, pulled it out, had to unplug it so that I could pull it all the way out of the spot where it is. And then, you know, tried to figure out how in the world am I going to disconnect the water supply from the dishwasher. Well, the water supply that goes in, the hot water going in, I found the coupling and I got a pair of pliers, could take it off fairly easily. Well, cool. See, that's something I can do for myself. Sounds great. And then there's the rinse or the hose where the water comes out. And so we take that water out, had to disconnect that one. All right. So, Doug, I see that you've called me. What's going on, Mr. Doug?
You have to excuse me for this one.
Sure.
Can you explain the difference between an heir and a beneficiary?
It really is definitional. An heir, usually an heir at law, is going to be a relative. Anybody that you name who's supposed to receive your property out of a will is an heir. A beneficiary is somebody who's either named as a beneficiary designation or named as a in a trust or in a beneficiary designation to receive property. So an heir at law is usually a relative. A beneficiary can be anybody, but you can also name an heir whoever you want in a will. Does that explain it? Or
and forgive me for being so elementary.
Oh, no, it's perfectly fine.
Have you ever seen that get mixed up on paper sometime, someplace? Not by you, of course.
I've seen the terms used almost interchangeably, yes. I've also seen people talk about, you know, they're going to leave something to their heirs, and then later on they say beneficiaries. And I've seen where it can cause confusion from time to time, so we try to be careful about terminology. Do you have a situation where something got confused like that, or?
No, I don't, but, I have a few years left, but I want to do things right when the time is right, of course.
Right. So the term heirs generally.
I guess the time is always right.
Well, you know, there's the two threshold requirements. Are you alive and are you mentally competent? If either of those change, then we've got problems. But yeah. The word heir usually is used in a will, because you're naming heirs in a will, or in an intestate situation where you die without a will and then you have the heirs at law. Beneficiary is kind of a general term that describes anybody who's supposed to receive property, even if it's not under a will, but from something else.
Okay. Yep. And I had one other question, but
sure.
It slips my mind momentarily here.
Okay. If you remember.
Where does power of attorney fit into all this?
So a power of attorney is a document that allows somebody to make decisions for you if you're unable to make your own decisions. So if you're unconscious or incapacitated or otherwise or mentally incapable of making your own decisions, then a power of attorney will allow somebody else to make decisions for you, whether it's medical decisions or financial decisions. So a will gives away your assets when you die. Power of attorney allows somebody to make decisions for you while you're alive, but incapable of making your own decisions.
And is that for medical or for financial?
You can have one for each.
One for each. Okay.
Wow. Yep.
And so that has to be done while the person is still mentally cognizant, right?
Right, because the person who creates the power of attorney or gives the power away needs to understand what they're doing.
And if they've passed that stage, then what?
Then there's a legal process of you can be appointed a guardian or a conservator that will allow you to, you then get legal permission from the courts to make decisions for somebody else.
Okay. Well, thanks for explaining that. Yep. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, Doug. Thanks for calling. All right. So, got a couple of callers, a couple of good questions, a couple of important things. We got to hear stories about dishwashers. I did get the dishwasher thing off. I tipped it forward. Some water spilled out, but that's what towels are for. And, you know, the whole experience was an exciting one that I hope not to have to repeat too often. Hopefully the new appliances will last for a while. Thanks so much for listening to Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey here on 560 KLZ. John Rush and Rush Reason are up next, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks and bye.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey will return to ATX next Wednesday at 2:30 here on KLZ 560 The Source, AM 560, FM 100.7, and online at 560thesource.com.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.